The challenges of youth. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome our viewers of Madani Channel back to another episode of the program The Challenges of Youth. Yes, in this program we discuss the various challenges that the youth do face as well as Islamic guidance as to how we can overcome those challenges. And for today as well, we have an important challenge that youth do face that is on the minds of many youth throughout the world. But before we get to that topic, let's first motivate ourselves to recite salawat upon the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in motivating us to recite salawat upon him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said, whoever recites salat once upon me, Allah azza wa jal showers 10 mercies upon him. Subhanallah azza wa jal. We want the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. That's your wazifa. Salawat on the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Now for today's topic of discussion, big question: is the grass greener on the other side? Is the grass greener on the other side? Yes, that's often a question that we do pose to ourselves. But to unpack that discussion, and for those who might not be so sure what exactly this discussion entails, you stay tuned. And immediately after the kalam, we are going to be ready to unpack this discussion together with you, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Now let's sit back, relax, and enjoy this kalam in praise of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll be back soon. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam.
Bi had zalil khar hu maula tu bakhsh de بے حد ذلیل و خوار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے یا رب میں شرمسار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے یا رب میں شرمسار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں آج بے قرار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے اسی آنکھ زیر بار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے مغموم و دل فگار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے شرم نظار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں زار ہوں نظار ہوں مولا تو بخش دے میں نے بھلا دیا مجھے مرنا مر کر اندھیری قبر میں جانا ہے ایک دن اعمال کا حساب بھی دینا ہے ایک دن سے بھی گزرنا ایک دن، مجرم ہوں نابکار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے، مجرم ہوں نابکار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے، دیکھ لے یہی دھڑکا مجھے لگا، تو دیکھتا رہا مجھے احساس نہ رہا، میں بدلحاظ عفو صدا، بے شرم بن گیا مجھے آئی نہ کچھ حیا، میں وہ سیاہ کار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے، میں وہ سیاہ کار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے، اقرار ہے مجھے میرے مولا میں ہوں لئیم، مایوس پر نہیں تیری رحمت سے اے رحیم، خالی نہ بھیج در سے تیرے اے میرے کریم، میرے گناہ بھی بخش تیری شان میں بھی امیدوار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے، میں بھی امیدوار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے، حد ذلیل و خوار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے، یا رب میں شرمسار ہوں، مولا تو بخش دے.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam in praise of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time we listen to his praises, we feel our spirits being rejuvenated. We feel the yearning to visit the blessed city of the beloved of Allah azza wa jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increase in our hearts. May Allah azza wa jalla take us all to the blessed cities of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah time and time again. Indeed, the heart of the lover never ceases to yearn to be near the beloved. The eyes of the lover never cease is to yearn to see the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the body, mind and soul of the lover never ceases to yearn to be close to the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now for today's topic of discussion, is the grass greener on the other side? What exactly does this mean? Firstly, see, when people are in a certain situation, then generally they assume that outside of this space, things are better. That outside of this space, things are better. For example, if someone is in one family, and when that family goes through some sorts of difficulties, this person tends to assume that in other families, things are better. if someone's in a job and they face some challenges in that job, they tend to think, outside of this job, in another job, things are better. When people live in a certain country, and every country has its challenges, then people tend to think that perhaps outside of this country, things are better. When people are in a marriage, and every marriage also has its challenges, and so they tend to think, outside of this marriage, maybe things are better. Maybe other people have it better in their marriages. And no matter what our situation, insan is this way. Human beings are like this. That we tend to lack contentment. We always assume that there is better out there. We always assume that outside is better. We always assume that other people have it better. And this results in us being ungrateful with that which we have. And you find that that is the reason that people are always chasing more and more. We are always chasing that which we don't have. We are always chasing environments that we are not in. We are always chasing things that are not within our reach. But when it does become within our reach and we grasp that, then we start chasing something else. Then we think something else is better. Then we think somewhere else is better. Then we think someone else is better. Then we think a different environment is better. And it goes on and on and on. Now, youngsters face this problem, this big question in their minds, that where I am, where I'm settled, where I grew up, where my family is this place good? Is it where I'm satisfied? Or is the grass greener on the other side? Is it better in another country? Is it better in another city? Is it better in a new environment? Is it better at a different work opportunity? And so the mind tends to run and we find ourselves in a confused state as to whether to stay or whether to move because of that assumption that things are better elsewhere. Now, when youngsters do study and graduate, sometimes before marriage, sometimes after marriage, sometimes just after they started work, sometimes just before they start their job, their work, their business, or their career, they tend to ponder that should I remain where I am? Should I remain in the vicinity, in the area that I reside in? Should I stay close to my family? Or should I move elsewhere? Sometimes to a different city, a different province, a different country. International travel, overseas, all of this comes to mind. And in today's day and age, you find many searching for opportunities, especially work opportunities, outside of their country, outside of even their comfort zone, thinking that that's where I'm going to make it. That's where the money is better. Doesn't everyone think this way, that outside the country, money is better. Outside the country, opportunity is better. Outside the country, scope is better. Outside the country, there's more to see, there's more to learn, and there's so much more to enjoy. We tend to have this mindset. Just remember that many people in other countries are thinking that outside of their country and within our country, the same is the case. They are assuming that the grass is greener here, as we are assuming that the grass is greener there. And so this is a worldwide, international, global problem that the youth do face throughout the world. Sometimes it extends even beyond the youth. It extends into the middle-aged people and even the elderly, thinking that me living where I am living, me keeping my family where we are, me residing where I am, all of this might not be as good because, again, the assumption that the grass is greener on the other side. Now, let's just unpack this a little bit. Remember that every environment, every place, every workspace, and many a times every relationship tends to have their positives and their negatives. And we are speaking about the worldly relationships that we do have. There are positives, there are negatives. But that assumption that things are better elsewhere, remember others are also experiencing what there is elsewhere. And they too might be having similar feelings. But let's unpack this. If someone remains where they are, let's take for example, a young person has studied and is ready to then start their career, is ready to open a business, is ready to start a job, is ready to pursue the career that they worked so hard to study for, and now comes that big question, stay or leave? What do we tend to do? We tend to weigh the pros and the cons. Bright idea, that is a good idea. We need to weigh the pros and cons. That what is it that I have here and what is it that I will get there? And then we can try to balance it out and see which is the better option. If someone just thinks that I'm going to move abroad on the assumption that things are better without weighing the pros and cons, then indeed such a person is not a wise person. Why? Because you could be leaving that which is better and going towards that which is worse, which unfortunately many a times does seem to be the case, but it's not a one cap fits all. It does change from person to person. Now, where one was born, was brought up, where one has their family, their support structure, that place is often considered the comfort zone of the person. That is a place where one is at ease, one has built contacts, one has built connection, one has their family, their friends, and many a times young people have their parents, their grandparents, their elders around as well. And so there's an emotional attachment to that space, to that place, as well as to the people that reside therein. Take for example, if a young person has their parents in their hometown. So that support, that love, that care, that selflessness that they will find from their parents in this area, in this vicinity, in this comfort zone, is not going to be found elsewhere. If someone is to move elsewhere, they are starting afresh. Yes, starting afresh. The slate is blank. Things need to be written. There is no support structure or backing that is present there already, and one needs to build it all the way from the bottom to the top. So it's starting at a different footing. One is starting at a good footing, starting at a footing where you have your support structure, you have the love, you have the affection that is given to you, you have people who are selfless when they look towards you. And on the other side, you don't have all of that, and therefore you are starting on a worse footing, unfortunately. However, not to say things can't get better, inshallah azza wa jal, for those who have made that choice or are going to make that choice, we still make dua that things do get better for them. Then again, finding employment in those spaces. Remember, when that support structure is lacking in that new environment, then finding good employment does become difficult. Why? Because you don't have much reference. You don't have much word of mouth to say that so-and-so person is a good person who is looking for employment. If one is looking for employment in the area that he or she has grown up in, has spent time in, then there are people who know you. There are people that you are familiar with. There are people that have good opinions about you. And so the chances are, when people require a reference, then there are people within that vicinity that can give a good reference. Whereas when one is abroad, then you don't have that same luxury, unfortunately. But let's take, for example, someone thinks that, okay, from home, I will apply online for a job. And when I receive a job offer internationally, then I will travel out there and I will take that job opportunity. So now there's no need for reference. Why? Because I've already found my employment. But consider, what if we take that employment, we arrive there, we start off, maybe things could even seem good at the beginning. After 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, or a year, we start to realize that this is not what I expected it to be. Yes, things are good in certain ways, but the negatives are now outweighing the positives. Now what happens? Now that same support structure is not there. Now that same good reference is not there to be able to look out for you, to search for opportunities for you within your home, within your own home environment. You don't only have your own eyes and your own ears. You have many other eyes and ears for you. You have many other hearts that feel for you. You have many other minds that think for you. You are not alone. Whilst when you move out, unfortunately, in most cases, you are alone. There are very few that will look out for you the way your loved ones will look out for you. Now it comes to the time of marriage. Two possibilities. Someone could have married in their home environment and then moved abroad, or someone could have found a spouse in that environment that they moved to. Now let's weigh the pros and the cons there as well. If we have a spouse or find a spouse, or our families find a spouse in our home environment, in our hometown, our home city, our home province, or our home country, then alhamdulillah, many of the norms that that person is used to, much of the culture that that person is used to, coincides with that which we are used to, which is a positive. No doubt about it, alhamdulillah. Now, when we decide to move abroad, understand that we are moving to a society of new norms, to a society of new culture, adaptation might be a little bit difficult. We might be able to adapt, but will our spouses be able to adapt as well as we can adapt? Now, we cannot be thinking for one person, we need to be thinking for two. And if as time goes on you have children, then you might be thinking for three, four, five, however many children Allah Azza wa Jal blesses you with. So think ahead as well. We shouldn't see just in front of our noses. Now, let's take scenario number two. If someone moves abroad and then finds a spouse, now compatibility does become a problem. Firstly, because cultures are different. Secondly, and very importantly, because you don't have the same guidance from your elders who you grew up with, who are selfless with regards to you, who look out for your betterment. You don't have the same guidance from them as to who to choose as a spouse, as to who to marry, as to who is compatible with your lifestyle. Unfortunately, all of that is not there. Chances are you could find someone whose family you might not know very well yet, but you don't have the same support structure to see that that family is compatible with yours. And so people tend to take those chances then, and they move into marriage, and then they start to figure things out. Then they start to think about compatibility. But unfortunately, many a times, then is a little too late. Now, think of a family moving out, a young couple moving out to another country and having lost the support structure that they had back home. This is indeed a loss. This is indeed difficult. Why? Because we are used to many people. We aren't used to just having one person. As much as we could love one person, a person could love their spouse very dearly. But at the same time, the person could have a father, a mother, an uncle, an aunt, grandmother, grandfather, friends. There are so many people that are around us that have influence on our lives and that we have attachment to. And all of them help us to create a balanced life for ourselves, a life of happiness, a life of joy, a life rich in love and joy. Now, when everyone is removed except one person, being the person's spouse, now how does that work out? Alhamdulillah, time is spent together, but we cannot spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year with one person all the time. Yes, that person has to work. Yes, that person has other duties, other responsibilities. That person needs to sleep. That person needs to see to themselves as well. And so we end up with just a few hours of the day or of the night with that person, and that's about it. This is when the feeling of loneliness creeps in. This is when the feeling of neglect creeps in. That person might not be neglecting their spouse, but they can only manage to spend 2 or 3 hours of quality time with their spouse. What happens to the other 20, 21, 22 hours of their day? Those are spent in loneliness. Those hours are spent feeling neglected. And so people tend to become frustrated within their marriages. People tend to become upset, feel neglected within their marriages. This builds into frustration, which eventually builds into conflicts and bickering over little matters that blow out of proportion, eventually burning the house down, so to speak, destroying the home, so to speak. And we feel more for our Islamic sisters because they are usually more in contact with their emotions. They are more emotional, which is a strength on their side. Two, if looked at in a positive light, alhamdulillah. So they have attachment to their father, their mothers, their aunts, their uncles, their grandparents, etc. Now, they don't have their father's shoulder to cry on because he is many miles away. They don't have the support and love and understanding of their mother because she is many miles away. There's no grandmother's house close by. There's no uncles and aunts who can look with the eyes of wisdom and guide them. Now they feel like they are all alone. They have to fight this battle all alone. When there are conflicts then in such marriages, then who is it that is going to step up and guide them? Who is it that is going to say, oh my child, move in this direction and not that direction? Yes, we often think when the other person is at fault, when the other person is wrong, but we too can be at fault. We too could be doing something wrong, which can be detrimental for our lives or our relationships that we might not be able to see from within. But there are those that may see from outside and guide us. But those people who really care, who can guide us, who don't mind being looked at in a bad light by us for those moments, but they want goodness for us, and so they will call us and tell us, "Oh my child, you are stepping out of line. Please come back into line. Oh my child, you are losing direction. Please find your direction again." Those people are not there. And when they are not there, then the support structure is gone. Then we too may be taking the first wrong step, the first step in the negative direction, not realizing it. And we continue moving on that path until we have strayed too far, and it becomes immensely difficult to come back. People think that money is better elsewhere. People think that earnings are better elsewhere. Yes, no doubt about that. In many places, things are better. Money is better. Earning is better. But also consider the cost of living in those areas. If money is good, cost of living is high as well. And therefore, how much of savings can you have? You spend most of it in living an average lifestyle in a society like that. And so not much saving is kept. Sometimes people think, and I've seen it from personal experience as well, and you might have seen it too. People think that I'll have plenty of savings because I'll live a simple life. But by the end of those savings, by the end of the year, the same money is spent on visiting home. It's spent on air tickets. It's spent on accommodation somewhere. It's spent on this or that. And we tend to visit home, come back, and we are left in the same position without much extra. Thinking initially that the grass was greener on the other side, whilst once we get there, we realize it's sort of the same. There's not much that is different. Important. We think the grass is greener on the other side. It's not always true. It's green where you water it, where you ensure that you place your efforts, where you ensure that you give your dedicated attention. That's where you can ensure that the grass is green. People can constantly be assuming that the grass is green in my neighbor's yard. It's not going to turn their grass any better. If we want our grass to be green, we need to invest our efforts where we are. We need to invest our efforts in what means a lot to us. Our parents mean a lot to us. That's where our efforts should go. Our families mean a lot to us. That's where our efforts should go. Our masajid mean a lot to us. That's where our efforts should go. Our deen means a lot to us. That's where our efforts should go. If we put efforts in these things, inshallah azza wa jal, we will flourish in these things. We will enjoy these things. We will see goodness in these things. But if we continue dreaming, then when we get to the other side, we will realize that things are not as we dreamed that it would be. I should have invested my efforts in that which meant a lot to me, in that which I knew was mine, in the place that I knew I could call home. And after many years, when we realize this, we realize that that many years of efforts have now been wasted. I'm now starting from zero, when by this point, I could have been halfway there. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide us to take goodness from that which we have learned. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide us to be at the feet of our parents, to take their du'as, to give them their service that is due to them, to keep relations with our siblings, with our family members, to see them often, to spend time with them often, to invest our efforts and love in those who matter, instead of holding our heads one day and saying, "I wish I was there when they needed me." But then it might be too late. Don't let those days come. Today, we have breath in our bodies. Our hearts are beating. Let's make these moments count with those who we love. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the tawfiq to take the goodness that we've learned. Ameen bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The challenges of youth. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall.